This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Where the caravan of Abu Sufyan managed to escape by Abu Sufyan changing the route, taking the coastal route and avoiding confrontation with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Roughly speaking, the Muslims were just above 300 people. And they didn't have full preparation for any war or anything because their initial intent was to attack the caravan and take over the caravan. So they were already, you know, they already outnumbered, you know, the people who were in the caravan. They're already better armed than the people in the caravan. So there was no need to really be fully ready. And the Prophet ﷺ, we said when he set out from Medina, he said, only those who are ready now, who can get themselves ready right now, are allowed to join. So this is why the number was small, 300, some narrations mention 313 Muslims. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, obviously we said he wanted to join, but the Prophet ﷺ thought he was too young. So he sent him back. And he sent another young man back. Do you guys recall his name? Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, and another one from the Ansar, who was young. Al-Bara ibn Azib, yes, Al-Bara ibn Azib, radiyallahu anhu. But the Prophet ﷺ took one young man, and he was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas's brother. What was the name of this young brother? Umayr. And we said he was too young to the point that his brother Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was actually helping him, you know, carry his sword by making knots in the belt, the sword belt. Anyway, so the Prophet ﷺ hears the news about Quraysh, that they have marched with a huge army, about 1,000 fully armed soldiers with lots of horses, camels, and supporting staff. Who's the supporting staff? You know, slaves. Okay, slaves who were taking care of all the logistics, the cooking, the food, all the other work, supportive work, and the dancers, and the singers, and the waiters who were offering them alcohol, because the Quraysh, the army of Quraysh, came as well to celebrate, because they're sort of guaranteed. We're going to defeat these people. We are the strongest army in the Arabian Peninsula. We outnumber them big time. We are ready, prepared. Muhammad has no experience in war. Muslims have no experience in war. So for them, it was a guaranteed victory. So they brought everything they needed to celebrate that victory. And the Prophet ﷺ, we said, he reaches first the area of Badr. And we said Badr, there was a yearly sort of market, seasonal market, the market of Badr, where the Arabs used to gather around that time for sometimes a few weeks or a couple of months, and they would exchange goods and, you know, sell different stuff. And the land of Badr is an open plain. And in the middle of it, there are water springs. The Prophet ﷺ sees this, and he decides to march forward. And camp right by the water springs, where there were water ponds. And this is where travelers used to drink from those water springs. So the Prophet ﷺ decides to take hold of them in case the army of Quraysh meets them there. The army of Quraysh has no source of water. And you know, as you travel in the desert, it's especially with 1,000 people, you need lots of water, right? Lots of food as well. So you can't carry the water that you need for days with you. The water that you carry probably will last you for half a day. Then you have to find another water source in order to get more water. So the Prophet ﷺ thought that would be a very good idea to actually take over these water springs where the army of Quraysh has no access to water. So that would be a great advantage. Imagine an army goes to war while thirsty. They don't have enough water resources. That's a serious issue. So the decision of the Prophet ﷺ was right. The books of Sirah, they mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ was camping way before these water springs. But there was one of the companions who came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, is this a command from Allah or is it some kind of, you know, a decision, personal decision that we can think about it, we can offer advice about it? And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, this is something, I mean, you can really give advice about. So he advised the Prophet ﷺ to take over the water springs. So this narration is mentioned in the books of Surah, but in the books of Sirah, but it was critiqued by some scholars. It was actually critiqued by some scholars. It doesn't have a chain of narration. And there seem to be some other conflicting narrations that are more authentic than it. So the Prophet ﷺ camps with the Muslims there, and we said they captured one of the slaves of Quraysh who came to get some water. And the Muslims were hoping, still hoping to meet Abu Sufyan and catch the caravan of Abu Sufyan. And when the slave tells them, I don't know anything about Abu Sufyan, I just know that the army of Quraysh is there, it's behind that mountain. And they won't be happy with that, so they start beating him. And the Prophet ﷺ was praying. Then the Prophet ﷺ spoke with him and he figured out, he wanted to know the number of the people of Quraysh. How many were they? He said, too many, I don't know. The Prophet ﷺ asked, how many camels do they slaughter for their food every day? The man said, 10 camels. Or 100 10 camels. Is it 10 camels? Yeah, 10 camels. 10 camels. So each camel with the rest of the food is enough for 100 people, roughly speaking. So the Prophet ﷺ figured out, he says, Al-Qawmu Al-Fun. These people, the army of Quraysh, is about 1,000 people. So the Prophet ﷺ camps, they build some kind of a canopy for the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ starts his dua. This is the day 16 in Ramadan. The 16th day. In Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ starts his dua. The Muslims start their preparations, they start camping, and the Prophet ﷺ starts his dua. He keeps making dua all the time. He keeps making dua. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saw the Prophet ﷺ in an extreme state of dua. The Prophet ﷺ is calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, do not let us down, do not let this group down. And if this group is defeated, who's going to worship you and establish your religion? And by the way, sometimes somebody might read this and think this is a state of despair. No, but the Prophet ﷺ actually was calling upon Allah in a state of certainty. He actually said in his dua, Allahumma anjiz lana wa'daka alladhi wa'adtana. Oh Allah, fulfill the promise that you have given us. Because we said last week that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims victory. It's either over the army of Quraysh or to take over the caravan. وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ as in Surah Al-Anfal. وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ. And thus Allah promises you that one of those two parties will be yours. Either the army or the caravan. So Allah promised. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ, after having a nap and receiving this revelation, he said to the Muslims, أَبْشِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَعَدَنِي إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ. You know, the glad tidings, it's good news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah promised us one of those two groups, either the army or the caravan. So on this day, the Prophet ﷺ is calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was the end of the day. It was Maghrib time. Muslims start getting themselves getting ready to sleep. They actually go to sleep. So Ali ibn Abi Talib, in night, he says, I wake up and I look around in the Muslim camp, everyone is sleeping except for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't go to sleep that night. He stayed up all night calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the Muslims were sleeping, something woke them up just before Fajr. And it was rain. It started raining. And Allah talks about this in Surah Al-Anfal. So it starts raining, the Muslims wake up, they start seeking shelter from the rain. And the Prophet ﷺ, soon after, he calls the Muslims to pray for Salat al-Fajr. And Bilal calls out, As-salatu jami'a, as-salatu jami'a. He calls the Muslims to come to the Prophet ﷺ. After praying, the Prophet ﷺ turns to them and he says, Abshiru fa'inna Allah azza wa jal arani masari' al-qawm. He says, be reassured. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me the death. He showed me the death of these people. He showed me the death of these people. Now we're talking about, let's talk about the geography of the place. This is a desert. This is a desert. And you know, when you are marching or you're fighting on sand, desert sand, you don't have a strong stance and foundation. It's quite shaky. It takes a lot of energy. Have you ever tried to walk or run on sand? And you know how frustrating it is. It's extremely frustrating. The land of Badr was mainly sand. So with that rain, it became solid. It came solid to a certain extent. It became solid. So that gave a very good standing, a very good ground for Muslims actually to fight. And it also gave them a fresh morning, a very fresh morning. So the Prophet ﷺ, as Umar al-Khattab said, he said the Prophet ﷺ left the camp and he marched forward to a place. Then the Prophet ﷺ says, "Abshiru fa innal." And the Prophet ﷺ, by the way, before doing that, he just took a nap, a short nap. Then he woke up with his face radiant and he said to the Muslims, "Let me show you." So the Prophet ﷺ started going to one place. He says, "This is where Abu Jahl will die." Showing them the exact spot. This is where Umayyah ibn Khalaf will die. This is where Utbah ibn Rabi'ah will die. This is where Shaybah ibn Rabi'ah is going to die. And so on and so forth. So the Prophet ﷺ, as the narration says, فَأَرَانَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَصَارِعَ الْقَوْمِ. The Prophet ﷺ showed us exactly where each one of them is going to die. Where their body will be. This is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He told the Prophet ﷺ. And this is where the Prophet ﷺ received the revelation about, which is in Surah Al-Qamar, بَلِ السَّاعَةُ مَوْعِدُهُمْ أَوْ سَيُهْزَمُ الْجَمْعُ وَيُوَلُّونَ الدُّبُرُ. سَيُهْزَمُ الْجَمْعُ. This gathering of Quraysh will be defeated. وَيُوَلُّونَ الدُّبُرُ. And they will turn on their heels and they will run away. That's a promise Allah gave the Prophet ﷺ before the battle of Badr. That night, by the way, it was almost night 16, or day 16, night 17. The moon was almost full. So it's a bright moon. It's a bright moon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the rain. He says, وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. By the way, we said previously many times that nothing is random in this world. There's no mistakes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't send rain random in that night. And he explains in Surah Al-Anfal why he sends down the rain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends sleep, this sleep upon you. So you guys fall asleep. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let the Muslims have a good night's sleep before the battle. So they wake up fresh. إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْهُ. Allah sends down the sleep upon you in order to give you peace of mind and give you a sense of security. أَمَنَةً مِّنْهُ وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. He sends upon you water from the skies, rain. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send rain? لِيُطَهِّرَكُم بِهِ. So He cleanses you with it. Physically, Allah cleanses you with it. So you freshen up. وَيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ رِجْزَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Allah takes away from you the plotting of shaitan with rain. With rain. وَلِيَرْبِطَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthens your hearts with it. وَيُثَبِّتَ بِهِ الْأَقْدَامِ. And Allah makes your feet firm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the rain for these reasons. لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ بِهِ. So physically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies you. وَيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ رِجْزَ الشَّيْطَانِ. And Allah removes away the plots and the evil of shaitan away from you. With rain, yes. And this shows, by the way, the scholars, some of the scholars, when they talk about this verse, they show the connection between our physical state and spiritual state. Physical state and spiritual state. And there's a strong connection between the state of your body and the state of your soul. And wudu is a manifestation. There's a dua the Prophet ﷺ taught us to say after making wudu. After you make wudu, you say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنِي مِنَ التَّوَّابِينَ وَاجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Oh Allah, make me from those who repent. This is spiritual cleansing. Spiritual purification. وَاجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. And make me from those who purify themselves. When do you say this? After you have just physically purified yourself and made wudu. So this, a lot of the scholars who commented on this hadith, they say there is a connection, strong connection between the state of your body. So when you make wudu, there is physical cleansing. And there is a parallel process that is spiritual cleansing taking place at the same time. And this is why you make the dua. This is why you make the dua. So literally the reason, one of the reasons why we make wudu before we make salah is that in order to sort of elevate ourselves spiritually and purify ourselves spiritually, physical cleansing helps out with this. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends rain upon the believers, upon the Muslims, before the battle of Badr, it actually freshens them up physically and it purifies them spiritually and mentally. It strengthens them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it also strengthens your hearts and it basically strengthens your stance and your feet. وَيُثَبِّتَ بِهِ الْأَقْدَامِ And that's a physical kind of thing. As we said, when the sand is wet, it gives you a firm standing. You're able to, you know, control yourself and maneuver in the battlefield much better than dry sand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purposefully, or with purpose, intently, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends this rain. It's at this moment that the Prophet ﷺ starts talking to the believers about shahada and about fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah, the Prophet ﷺ tells them about the reward of a shaheed, the reward of a martyr, what he's going to get, what they're going to get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how they will get their sins forgiven with the first flow of their blood out of their body. And the Prophet ﷺ explains to them what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give them. To the point that one of the younger companions, a young companion from the Ansar, Umayr ibn al-Hammam, when he hears about this, towards the beginning of the battle, I'm just going to jump ahead of myself, he had some dates to eat just before the battle to strengthen himself. So he's eating as the battle starts, then he hears the Prophet ﷺ says, إِنَّ لِلشَّهِيدِ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ سَبْعَ خِصَالٍ That for the martyr, he has seven gifts and blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first of them is that with the first flow of blood outside of his body, he will get all of his sins forgiven. ثُمَّ يُشَفَّعُ فِي سَبْعِينَ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ Then he is made to intercede for 70 people within his household, within his family. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentions these seven traits, or seven gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet ﷺ at the beginning of the battle, he says, قُومُوا إِلَى جَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ He says to the companions, stand up and rush into a heaven or to a paradise whose width is more than the heavens and the earth. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, إِنَّهَا لَجَنَّةٌ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ It's a paradise whose width is more than the heavens and the earth. He says, yes. He says, وَمَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا هَذِهِ التَّمَرَاتِ He says, nothing stands between me and between this paradise except these dates, just the time to eat these dates. The Prophet ﷺ says, yes. Then he says to himself, bakhin, bakhin. And it's just a statement of like something like, woe to me. Then he says, wallahi, la'in sabartu hatta akula hadhihi tamarat innaha lahayatun tawila. If I wait to make it to paradise until I finish these dates, how long is it going to take? 1-2 minutes? This is a long life. He throws the dates and he jumps right into the battle. And he dies in the battlefield. So he dies as a martyr. Now, the people. So the Prophet ﷺ, Quraysh now were still behind a mountain. The Prophet ﷺ tells the Prophet ﷺ tells the Muslims, إِنَّ قُرَيْشْ وَرَاءَ ذَٰلِكَ الْكُثَيِّبِ الْأَحْمَرِ وَرَاءَ ذَٰلِكَ الضِّلْعِ من الجبل الأحمر. Quraysh are just behind that red mountain. Are just behind that red mountain. Now Quraysh start marching forward. About 1,000, they're marching forward with all of the helpers, the other helpers, and they come to this open field which is called Badr. The Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims are to the northern side of it, northeast, and the people of Quraysh towards the southwest. Now Quraysh want to know exactly how many the Muslims are, what preparations they have. Any army needs intelligence, right? They need to figure out who we're facing, what are we up to, we need to find out. So they send one of the most intelligent Arabs at the time. He was called even, one of this name was Dahiyatul Arab. Many people actually got this name. Dahiyatul Arab is like a genius among the Arabs. His name was Amr ibn Wahb al-Jumahi. He was a very intelligent man. So they send him, and they said, you know, get closer to the Muslim army and figure out how many they are. So he goes, and he senses out the Muslim army. Then he comes back quickly, and he says, so I'm going to read his words because they are powerful, and they all translate. And then after he sees he senses out the Muslims, he has an assessment about them, he actually goes around to see whether the Muslims have set any ambush for Quraysh. So they're quite vigilant. So he doesn't see anything, he goes back to Quraysh. So he says, ما رأيت شيئا, there's no ambush. ولكن قد رأيت يا معشر قريش البلايا تحمل المنايا. He says, basically he says to the Quraysh, there are only 300 and there is no ambush around. But he says, oh people of Quraysh, I've seen the camels of Yathrib are carrying upon them your death. They've carried upon them your death. نواضح يثرب تحمل الموت الناقع. The camels of Yathrib are only of Medina are only carrying death for you. That's all they have for you. قوم ليس لهم منعة إلا سيوفهم. These people have no weapon except their swords. That's all the weapons they have. والله ما أرى أن يقتل رجل منهم حتى يقتل رجل منكم. He says, Wallahi, my assessment is that we will not get to kill any of them until one of us is killed. So we're not going to kill any of them until one of us is killed first. فَإِذَا أَصَابُوا مِنْكُمْ أَعْدَادَهُمْ فَمَا خَيْرُ الْعَيْشِ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَرَوْ رَأْيَكُمْ. Then he says, so if they manage to kill from among us the same number as they are, 300, if they manage to kill 300 from us, Quraysh, then he says, I don't see any point really in this victory. I don't see a point in this victory. Keep in mind, the army of Quraysh knows that half of these Muslims are what? Actually more than half. Are Muhajirin, are their cousins, their brothers. Actually in both armies, they were brothers. One brother in this army, the other brother in this army. You will find a father in the army of Quraysh and his son is in the army of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how it, or you find a cousin here and their cousin is in the other army. So people were going to fight their brothers and their cousins and their sons and their family. So this is why some of the people of Quraysh were really hesitant to take part in this battle. So when Amr ibn Wahb al-Jumahi gives them that kind of warning, Hakim ibn Hizam, who later on becomes a companion, Hakim ibn Hizam becomes a companion. But he's still now with Quraysh, he's a non-Muslim, but he's a wise man. When he hears this, he realizes, what's the point fighting against our cousins? We don't need to get into this battle, because the caravan has survived. Okay, there's nothing for us to lose. Why don't we just go back to Mecca? And the attempts of the Prophet ﷺ, you know, didn't pay off. That's it. So he says, we don't really need to fight them. So he goes to the leader of Quraysh, one of the leaders of Quraysh, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, one of the main leaders of Quraysh, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. He goes to him and he says, Ya Abul Walid, speaks to him. إنك كبير قريش الليلة وسيدها والمطاع فيها. He says, Abu Walid, you are the most noble among Quraysh. You are the one that everyone listens to. Everyone looks up to you. So you are the leader now. هل لك أن تذهب بشرف هذا اليوم ما بقيت? I'm offering you an honor today, that you take it with you and it stays with you forever. هَلَّكَ أَلَّا تَزَالَ تُذْكَرُ مِنْهَا بِخَيْرٍ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الدَّهْرِ. What I'm offering you is going to add to your reputation till the end of times. You will have an opportunity to save our day, to save this day. So Utbah says, what is this? So Hakim says, إِنَّكُمْ لَا تَطْلُبُونَ مِنْ مُحَمَّدٍ إِلَّا دَمَ بْنِ الْحَضْرَمِي. The only revenge you have against Muhammad is the blood of Amr ibn al-Hadrami. Who's Amr ibn al-Hadrami? Let me check your memory now. Who's Amr ibn al-Hadrami? Excellent. Do you remember the name of the leader of that small Muslim expedition? Abdullah ibn Jahsh. You remember the Prophet ﷺ sent Abdullah ibn Jahsh with 8 other people? And he sent them to find out something about Mecca, but they saw a small caravan from Quraysh, they attacked it. And they killed one person. His name was Amr ibn al-Hadrami. So the people of Quraysh still had said, Muhammad killed one of us, we have to avenge him. So now Hakim ibn Hizam is saying to Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, he's saying to him, you know, all we need from Muhammad is the blood of Amr ibn al-Hadrami. So he's saying to him, why don't you, I'm giving you an offer. The family of Amr ibn al-Hadrami, they want the blood of their man who was killed. You, and this is a norm among the Arabs, someone noble among the Arabs could actually intervene and say, I will pay the blood money for that guy and let's settle this dispute forever. And I will take care of that. This was a common practice. So Hakim ibn Hizam is saying to Utbah, he says, why don't you take care of it? And you go to the family of Amr ibn al-Hadrami and say, I will cover his blood money. And it's done deal. We don't need to fight these people for the sake of one man. We don't need to really sacrifice, you know, our own people as well and kill our own cousins for the sake of this one man. I mean, we can deal with that through another way. Just pay the blood money. So Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, he likes the idea and he says, I'm going to take care of the blood money. It's with me. It's with him. I'm going to take care of him. So he says, قَدْ فَعَلْتُ أَنَا أَتَحَمَّلُ دِيَتَهُ. And he says, إِنَّمَا هُوَ حَلِيفِي فَعَلَيَّ عَقْلُهُ وَمَا أُصِيبَ مِنْ مَالِهِ. So he says, he's actually like his clan is the allies of my own clan. We have a covenant with them of mutual protection. So I'm going to cover his blood money and I'm going to cover their financial loss when the caravan was taken. I'm going to cover all of that. So Utbah ibn Rabi'ah is one of the richest people in Mecca. Then he says to, now Utbah has a concern. Yes, he's a leader in Mecca, but he's not the only indisputable leader. There's a very provocative man in Quraysh and his name is Abu Jahl. So he's really like, what he has in his mind is Abu Jahl, who's going to deal with Abu Jahl? I'm okay with this. But who's going to get Abu Jahl to accept this? So he says to Hakim ibn Hizam, he says to him, فَأْتِي إِبْنَ الْحَنْظَلِيَّةِ. Go to the son of Al-Hanzaliyyah. What Al-Hanzaliyyah? Okay, it's a nickname, a negative nickname about the mother of Abu Jahl. Al-Hanzal basically is a plant that is bitter and has an ugly taste. So this is a bad nickname for Abu Jahl, okay? Ibn al-Hanzaliyyah, the son of the bitter woman. So فَأْتِ ابْنَ الْحَنْظَلِيَّةِ, go to him, Abu Jahl. فَقُلْ لَهُ هَلْ لَكَ أَنْ تَرْجِعَ الْيَوْمَ بِمَنْ مَعَكَ عَنْ ابْنِ عَمِّكَ. And tell him, would you just withdraw today and not fight your cousin? Muhammad is your cousin, is part of your tribe, Quraysh. فَإِنِّي أَخْشَى أَنْ يَشْجُرَ أَمْرَ أَنْ لَا يَشْجُرَ أَمْرَ النَّاسِ غَيْرُهُ. ثُمَّ قَامَ عُتْبَةُ خَطِيبًا. So Utbah is saying, no one is going to make this day go in a state of chaos except Abu Jahl. So go and convince him and I will deal with the rest of people. Then Utbah stands up to make a speech to the army of Quraysh and he says, يَا مَعْشَرَ قُرَيْشِ إِنَّكُمْ وَاللَّهِ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ بِأَنْ تَلْقَوْا مُحَمَّدًا وَأَصْحَابَهُ شَيْئًا. He says, oh people of Quraysh, wallahi you will not achieve anything by fighting Muhammad and his people. There's no gain. You're gonna get no gain from fighting Muhammad today. وَاللَّهِ لَئِنْ أَصَبْتُمُوهُ لَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى وَجْهِ رَجُلٍ يَكْرَهُ النَّظَرَ إِلَيْهِ قَتَلَ ابْنَ عَمِّهِ أَوْ ابْنَ خَالِهِ. He says, wallahi, if we fight them, you know, any of us, because we're going to kill our cousins and our brothers. So we're going to end up in a state where when we go back to Mecca, I'm going to see this man, he killed my cousin who was a Muslim. And I hate that. Because you know, the blood relationship among the Arabs, among all humanity, but among the Arabs is very strong. Like even if someone is upon another religion, he's my cousin, he's my brother. If you killed him, I'm still going to have an issue with you. My blood is going to boil when I see you. So Utbah is saying, you know, we're going to end up killing some of our cousins. So we will end up seeing our own people who have killed our own cousins and brothers, and we're not going to feel good about that. And it's going to create a lot of, you know, revenge among Quraysh. So he says, أَوْ رَجُلًا مِنْ عَشِرَتِهِ فَارْجِعُوا وَخَلُّوا بَيْنَ مُحَمَّدٍ وَسَائِرِ الْعَرَبِ. So he's saying now, Utbah, to the people of Quraysh, let's go back to Mecca and leave Muhammad. The Arabs will deal with him. The rest of the Arabs will deal with him. We don't need to do it. Basically, he's saying we don't need to do the dirty work. Leave it for the Arabs. They will deal with him. فَإِنْ أَصَابُوهُ فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي أَرَدْتُمْ So if the Arabs end up killing Muhammad and getting rid of him, that's what you guys want. You don't have to do it yourself. وَإِنْ كَانَ ذَٰلِكَ أَلْفَاكُمْ وَلَمْ تُعْرِضُوا مِنْهُ مَا تُرِيدُونَ Basically what he's saying, but if Muhammad gains power, then his power is going to be yours. His power is going to be yours. So now Utbah had a good insight into how things were going to end up. So this is why he decided to take this advice of Hakim ibn Hizam and really implement it. And he made that speech to the people. You guys, really, there's nothing we can gain from fighting with Muhammad and fighting our cousins and our brothers. Let's just go back and we will deal with that blood money of Amr ibn al-Hadrami. And we will cover their cost, the cost of the family. Now, I'm just thinking, who'd be happy hearing this? Who'd be happy hearing this from Quraysh? It's a man who didn't want to leave Mecca. Who was that? Who decided to buy the fastest camel? Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Because remember, Umayyah ibn Khalaf still remembers a promise from Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. When they had a dispute in Mecca, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh told him, "Da'na mink, fa'inni sami'tu Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wasallam yaqulu innahu qatiluk." You know, get out of here. I heard Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam say they're going to kill you. And he asked the question, "Is that going to be in Mecca? Is he going to kill me in Mecca?" Sa'd ibn Mu'adh said, "I don't know." So he said, "I will never leave Mecca." But obviously, remember, he was trying to stay in Mecca, but Abu Jahl went to his house and he got him out of his house and he said, you can't stay at home when everyone is joining the army. And then obviously when he left Mecca, he said, I'm gonna, you know, seek any opportunity and come back to Mecca. But obviously he couldn't. He had to go with them to the point in Badr, to that area. So I could imagine now, Umayyah ibn Khalaf is listening to Utbah ibn Rabi'ah and he must be giving him the thumbs up, right? I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And he knows that Prophet ﷺ, if he promised, the promise will be fulfilled. So, who was observing the scene? Huh? Before Abu Jahl. Because we said Utbah. Now he replied to Hakim ibn Hizam. He said, I will deal with it, but you just go and deal with Ibn al-Handaliyah, the son of the bitter woman. Go and deal with him. Go and convince him. So Hakim is on his way to Abu Jahl to speak with him. But from the other side, the Prophet ﷺ is observing what's happening. Utbah, when he was speaking to the people of Quraysh and trying to dissuade them from the war, he was on his camel, the red camel. The Prophet ﷺ is observing it from a distance. He says, إِنْ يَكُنْ عِنْدَ الْقَوْمِ خَيْرٌ فَهُوَ عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ الرَّجُلْ عَلَى الْجَمَلِ الْأَحْمَرِ The Prophet ﷺ says, if there is anything good about these people, then it's with that man on the red camel. And it was Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. So the Prophet ﷺ sends to Hamza, because Hamza was in the front line. And he was close to him, and Hamza could actually hear what Utbah was saying. So the Prophet ﷺ sends to Hamza, he said, get Hamza for me. Hamza comes. The Prophet ﷺ is asking, what is happening there? Hamza is saying, this is Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. The Prophet ﷺ says, what is he saying? He says, إِنَّهُ يَنْهَى قُرَيْشًا عَنِ الْقِتَالِ He is actually trying to dissuade Quraysh from fighting. So he's basically saying, Hamza heard him say, Ya qawmi ati'uni fi ha'ula'i al-qawm. O my people, obey me now. Take my opinion. Fa'innakum in fa'altum thalika lam yazal fi qulubikum. If you kill those people, if you kill your cousins, that's going to stay as a grudge in your hearts. ينظر كل رجل إلى قاتل أخيه وقاتل أبيه. Everyone, like we're gonna end up go back. You killed my father. You killed my son. You killed my brother. فجعلوا جبنها برأسي وارجعوا. You know, keep the blame with me. I'm gonna take the blame. Say I am the coward among you, and let's go back to Mecca. Let's go back to Mecca. We don't need to get into this war. And he's also saying. يا قوم إني أرى قوما مستميتين He's saying to Quraysh, Utbah, he's saying to Quraysh, "Oh people," this is what Hamza heard him saying, "I can see people who are ready to fight to the death. وَمَا وَاللَّهِ مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَصِلُوا إِلَيْهِمْ حَتَّى تَهْلِكُوا." And he's saying, "Wallahi, I don't think we can overcome them until they finish us off." So even Utbah was seeing that the Muslims were actually determined to fight. So Utbah is saying, ضَعُوهَا بِرَأْسِي وَقُولُوا جَبُنَا عُتْبَةُ بْنُ رَبِيعَةِ. You know, put the blame on me and just say the coward among us has been Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. I'm going to take the blame for that. By the way, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, he's one of the leaders of Quraysh, but he had a family member with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His son was a Muslim. His son Abu Hudhayfa radiyallahu anhu. Abu Hudhayfa, the son of Utbah, was with the army of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I could imagine someone seeing their father in this kind of position. It is such a painful position to see your father with the army of the non-Muslims. And I can't help but really now just remember Ali ibn Abi Talib when his father died as a non-Muslim. And remember when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was in tears after his father Abu Talib died. And he says to the Prophet ﷺ, "Inna ammaka ad-dalla qad mat." He says, "Your misguided uncle has died." He came to the Prophet ﷺ and he was crying. It's painful to see, you know, one's father in this state. So today, in this battlefield, Utbah is actually probably the wisest among the people of Quraysh. But will he be able to hold Quraysh, back? Now, Utbah knows that Abu Jahl is not someone who's easy to deal with. By the way, Abu Jahl was like number one in provocative language. He knows how to provoke people. He knows really to get people out of their mind. So Hakim ibn Hizam goes to Abu Jahl and he says, "I find Abu Jahl is preparing his shield." He's actually preparing his shield for the battle. So I say to him, فَقُلْتُ لَهُ يَا أَبَا الْحَكَمْ إِنَّ عُتْبَةَ أَرْسَلَنِي إِلَيْكَ بِكَذَا وَكَذَا. So I tell him, "Utbah has sent me to you, and this is his message. We shouldn't be fighting these people today. They are our cousins, they are our people, and if we fight them, it's really going to be problematic. It's going to have long-term consequences." So how does Abu Jahl respond? Abu Jahl responds, he says, "Intafakha wallahi sihruhu hina ra'a Muhammad." He says, his magic has played full course as he saw Muhammad and his companions. انتفق سحره والله حين رأى محمدا وأصحابه فلا والله لا نرجع. Listen to Abu Jahl now. No, والله, we will not go back. حتى يحكم الله بيننا وبين محمد. Until Allah judges between us and Muhammad. He's giving a khutbah now. He's giving a khutbah. And he says, وما بعتبة ما قال. And he says, عتبة doesn't mean what he's saying. It's not about him taking the blame and being worried about us killing our cousins. ولكنه رأى محمدا وأصحابه أكلة جزور وفيهم ابنه فقد تخوفكم عليهم. But he saw Muhammad and his companions as a small group and would be able to kill them as we kill a camel. And his son is with them, so he fears for his son. That's why he's saying what he's saying. That's the response of Abu Jahl. So Abu Jahl now knows that there's no point speaking and arguing with Utbah. So what does he do? He says, no reason now. He goes to the family of Amr ibn al-Hadrami, the one who died, the Muslims killed previously. He goes to them and he says, you know, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah wants to waste the blood of your brother. He goes to his brother Amr. He wants to waste the blood of your brother Amr. You guys have to scream and you have to ask for your right. So Amr ibn al-Hadrami, the brother of Amr ibn al-Hadrami, he goes in the middle of the army of Quraysh and he says, "Wa Amrah, wa Amrah." So that's a scream. That's an announcement for revenge. It's basically, that makes emotions boil. That makes people go emotional. So once he says this, people of Quraysh, they raise their swords and they say, revenge, revenge, we're going to take revenge. The whole army now is switched. With what? With emotions. So Abu Jahl, he incites, you know, the army of Quraysh, and all of them now are ready for war. When he sees this, he realizes there's no point, man. Khalas. The battle is going to start, because Abu Jahl is not, you know, giving any way, you know, for others to change the course of events. So what does Utbah, what does Utbah when he hears all of this and he realizes what happened? He actually swears at Abu Jahl. He swears at Abu Jahl. So basically he says, سَيَعْلَمُ مُصَفِّرُ إِسْتِهِ مَنْ انْتَفَخَ سِحْرُهُ أَنَا أَمْهُ. So Hakim al-Hizam narrates, goes back to Utbah and he says, Abu Jahl says about you that your magic has played its full course and you are afraid for your son. That's it. So what does he say? He says, سَيَعْلَمُ مُصَفِّرُ إِسْتِهِ مَنْ انْتَفَخَ سِحْرُهُ. So he's saying basically, this farting idiot is going to know whose magic will play its full course. Basically, who's going to deal with the consequences. Now, Abu Jahl is not enough that he incites everyone. They start screaming for revenge. What does he do? He goes to Utbah himself. Then he says to him, أَنْتَ تَقُولُ ذَلِكَ. He said, you are saying what you said? Then he says to him, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ غَيْرُكَ يَقُولُهُ لَأَعْضَدْتُهُ قَدْ مُلِئَتْ رِئَتُكَ أَوْ قَدْ مُلِئَ جَوْفُكَ رُعْبًا. He says, wallahi, if someone else said that, I would have killed them. Then he says, your stomach, your guts is full of fear. You're basically full of fear. So he's using this kind of provocative language against Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. Now Utbah ibn Rabi'ah loses his mind when he hears that insult. Basically, you're a coward, you're taken over by fear. What does he do? He says, give me my helmet. Now there's no reason, no place for reason. Give me my helmet. So they bring his helmet and it won't fit his head. So Utbah ibn Rabi'ah was known to have a big head. So he tries to fit any helmet and won't fit his head. So what does he do? He takes one of his cloaks, burda, and he ties it around his head. And in that moment, he calls upon his son, his brother Shayba, and his son Al-Walid. He says, march forward. And both of them march forward in front of the army, and they challenge the Muslims for a fight. Now, just before that moment, two people decide to join the Muslim army. And that's Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman and his father Abu Hasil. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman and his father Abu Hasil. They decide to join, they come and join the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they tell the Prophet a story that just had happened with them just before they joined the army. What was the story? They came to join the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as muhajirin. They've just immigrated to Medina. And they happened to meet the Muslims in the Battle of Badr. But before coming to the Muslims, they were caught by Quraysh. And Quraysh asked them, where are you guys going? They said, oh, we just new Muslims and we're going to join Muhammad. So they kept them captive. Quraysh kept Hudhayfa ibn Yaman, his father, captive. And they said, you guys are going to join them, you're going to fight against us. We will only let you go after the battle is over. The only way you guys can leave, if you promise us, you give us your word not to fight with Muhammad. They said, we promise you. And now they joined the Prophet ﷺ. They said, O Messenger of Allah, we want to fight with you. The Prophet ﷺ says, no, irji'a, go back to Medina. Go back to Medina. نَفِي لَهُمْ بِعَهْدِهِمْ وَنَسْتَعِينُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِمْ. You guys have given them a promise. We're going to fulfill this promise. We're going to fulfill the promise to them, and we would seek Allah's help up against them. What does that teach us? Even in a state of war, we're going to give these people and keep our word. We're going to stay true to our promises. And we seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This shows the ethics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the ethics of Islam. You're dealing with a Muslim, non-Muslim, you're dealing with an enemy, you're dealing with someone in the battlefield, you still have to be honest. You have to be truthful. You have to hold on to your word. This is a lesson that we should learn. You'll find sometimes groups among Muslims, out of ignorance, and they say, okay, you know, these are non-Muslims, we can take their money. We can abuse the system. Who said that? Who said that? The Prophet ﷺ, when the people of Quraysh were persecuting him, he still kept their trusts and their assets. They used to, you know, keep their savings with him, some of them. And he would not betray that trust. They would. So basically the concept of honesty, truthfulness, trustworthiness, faithfulness remain universal regardless of the situation. Regardless of the situation, you remain truthful. We have our ethics, we have our principles, regardless of the situation. So we said the Utbah ibn Rabi'a, he marches forward and he calls upon his brother Shayba and his son Al-Walid, and they challenge the Muslim army. So three of the Ansar march forward. They look at these three and he says, Man al-Qawm, Utbah screams out, Man al-Qawm, who are the people? So they give their names from the Ansar. So he says, Ya Muhammad, akhrij ilayna nudara'ana min qawmina. He says, Oh Muhammad, we want our combatants, the people we're going to fight against, we want them to be from our own people. We don't want to fight the people of Medina. We want to fight the people of Mecca. You see how crazy Utbah went? He had a thin line of logic at the beginning, but when Abu Jahl provoked him, he lost his mind completely. Now, he wants to fight his own people. So he says, bring us, you know, our opponents from our own people. So the Prophet ﷺ says, "Ukhruj ilayhim ya Hamza, ukhruj ilayhim ya Ubaida ibn al-Harith, ukhruj ya Ali ibn Abi Talib." Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, Ubaida ibn al-Harith, and Ali ibn Abi Talib. 3-4-3. This is how the battles used to start, with either one fight, or two fights, or three fights. Three people fighting. That marks the beginning of the battle. After that, two armies charge against each other. So the battle starts, and that's where we're going to stop, inshallah, and we'll carry on, bi-ithnillah, next week. So we have a little bit of time for a couple of questions. So if there are any questions, let's deal with them. Okay, at this time, fasting Ramadan was an obligation. But in the battlefield, the Muslims are actually not supposed to fast because they need the strength. They need the strength. So apparently the Muslims were not fasting during the battle. Yes, they were not fasting. Let alone being in a travel. Yes. Questions? Amr ibn Wahb al-Jumahi.
Yeah, and he said the camel of Medina, they carry how would he know that?
These are people who had experience in war. He had experience in war. He actually, in another narration of what he said, Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, wallahi laqad ra'aytu qawman wujuhuhum kassuyuf. He said, O people of Quraysh, wallahi, I've seen people whose faces are just like swords. Okay. Basically, these people are so determined to finish you off. So you could tell from the spirit of the people. Don't forget, Quraysh came, and we're going to actually, when we talk about the battle, we'll explain how the people of Quraysh didn't have a unified purpose for this battle. Some people came for revenge, some people came for money, some people came for celebration, some people came just because of their personal hatred to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there was no unified purpose, whereas the Muslims were upon the same heart with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So men, as in Arabic they say, لا يعرف الرجال إلا الرجال. Only men know men. So this is some kind of an insight. When you see an army or you see a people, you know this, although this army is small, it's indefeatable. So he had this kind of firasa, this kind of insight and intuition. This is an army that you cannot win against, regardless of the number. So this is what he meant when he was saying the camels of Yathrib, or the camels of Medina, carry your death upon them. Yeah, that's what he meant. Any more questions? Huh? No, Utba didn't kill his son. No. In wars, it's okay to lie. Al-harbu khud'a. That's true. Al-harbu khud'a. Lie, you lie with regards to your strategy. You hide your intention, yes. But you don't promise, then break your promise. So because Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman and his father gave promise that we will not join Muhammad and his army, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the condition for Quraysh to release them. So now you got released, then you're gonna join the army. You have to stay truthful to your promise. But now, if you give your enemy an impression that okay, this is our plan, but you actually have a completely different plan, that's okay. Okay, so that's al harbu khud'a. Yes, al harbu khud'a. It's you can use tricks in war. You can use tricks in war. Yes. Okay, we have room for one more question.
So if the Quraysh decided to sort of make peace and not do the war, would it have been better for the Muslims to accept that?
If Quraysh decided to make peace, would that be good? Allahu A'lam. But what we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes things go in the best way possible. And really, the battle of Badr has changed the scale of power. It really changed history. And this is why Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he says kunna naqul anna iddata man kharaj ma'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ila Badr 300 wa nayif, just above 300, wa kana dhalika al-adad alladhina kharaju ma'a Talut. And that was the same number that went with Prophet Talut, okay, against their enemies. I think Talut in English is Goliath, and yeah, Goliath. So فكنا نراهم خير المسلمين. We used to see the people who took part in the Battle of Badr as the best among the Muslims. And the Prophet ﷺ says, ما يدريكم لعل الله نظر إلى أهل بدر فقال اعملوا ما شئتم فإني قد غفرت لكم. You don't know. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at the people of Badr and he said, do whatever you want. I have forgiven your sins for you. So the Battle of Badr marks a huge, is one of the biggest turning points in the history of Islam. We said it challenged the religious, the military status of Quraysh in the Arabian Peninsula. The reputation of Quraysh was destroyed, was broken forever since the Battle of Badr. So it was such a huge victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so inshallah we meet next week, same after Maghrib. Jazakum Allah khairan for your attendance and your attention. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.